What is going on, Met fans? Welcome to another episode of our New York Mets podcast. Brand new episode, Sunday evening. The Mets just finished wrapping up their first series win of 2024. Took 2 out of 3 games from the Cincinnati Reds. A series that was a little frustrating. Probably a series that the Mets should have swept, but they couldn't get the sweep. But it is nice getting a series win, especially considering how the Mets' first 2 series of the season went. And look, if we're going to start recapping this series win against the Reds, we got to start off by talking about the starting pitching. It continues to impress me. I will admit, I think I've mentioned it in my previous episode, but I am very, very surprised at the way this starting rotation is giving us quality starts. Now, the Mets only have 2 quality starts on the season, technically, on the books. But really, if you look at these past starts by Mets starters, they are really putting us in position to win. I know they're not going the 6 innings. They're going 5, 5 1/3, 5 2/3. Nonetheless, though, the pitching is giving us a chance to win. They are giving a chance to the bats to put up at least 4 or 5 runs and get us a win. Unfortunately, in game 2, we were a little thin in the bullpen area. Johan Ramirez had to really, really suck it up on Saturday afternoon. 50 plus pitches. The wheels just fell off in that 8th inning, especially. The Mets had the lead 5-1 in that game, and then just everything went to shit. Defensively, it was probably the Mets, not probably, it was the Mets' worst defensive game of this young season. We saw little league errors and mistakes. Mentally, you can tell the Mets were not in it. And that game really, you know, the saying, one bad apple ruins it for everyone else. That series really was the bad apple, and it kind of ruined the weekend a little bit. In a way, in a small way. We still got the series win, which is important and is the goal. But that one game really, you know, just it stuck out. Plain and simple, it stuck out, right? We always criticize, we don't criticize the good, we always criticize the bad. We remember the bad more than the good sometimes. But make no mistake, there was a lot of good in this series versus the Reds. I mentioned the starting pitching. The bullpen was excellent. Ottavino came in on Friday night. 0 runs. I think he had 2 strikeouts. Pitched a full inning again today on Sunday. Pitched another full inning. Another 2 strikeouts. He's pitching very well. Who else pitched out of the bullpen? I think Drew Smith pitched out of the bullpen this weekend as well. The bullpen is really, they got like 4 guys in the bullpen. Diaz, Garrett, Raley, and Drew Smith with a 0 ERA. And, you know, when you look at the team or the team bullpen ERA, that number is going to be a little skewed because of Johan Ramirez on Saturday. But overall, if we subtract that from the equation, it's important, but let's just subtract it for a minute. The bullpen has really been pretty solid. So, and you know, I talked about in one of my previous episodes on what I'm looking for out of out of each player. And I mentioned Carlos Mendoza, like what I was looking out of him, for this season. And it, bullpen management was one of those things. I think he really had his hands tied behind his back for Saturday. I don't think he wanted to put innings on the bullpen on Saturday. So he left Johan Ramirez to die out there throwing 50 plus pitches. I'm going to give Carlos Mendoza a pass. We had a doubleheader and rainouts and all that last week or earlier this past week. And so I think once we get past those doubleheaders, hopefully he'll be able to manage the bullpen a little better. I mentioned in the past that he comes from a team, the Yankees, that had a top three bullpen the last three seasons. So I think he has an idea of how to manage the bullpen, and let him get his feet a little more wet as a manager. That was an issue with Buck Showalter in the past. Didn't really know how to manage the bullpen too well. So I'll give Carlos Mendoza a pass for Saturday. And I think going forward, we'll see, we'll see a better management of that bullpen. Sticking with the starting pitching, because I think it's really important. I called them the question mark rotation because I really didn't know what we were going to see. And hopefully this is not the last of it. Like, hopefully they keep this up for most of the season. It's going to be hard to do. It's going to be hard to replicate because they've been so good. And there's going to be bumps and bruises along the way. But for now, the Mets starting pitching in the National League, they have the best pitching staff as a whole in the ERA department with a 2.92 ERA. They're tied with the Braves for the fewest home runs allowed with 6. I tweeted a while back, not having Carlos Carrasco on this team is going to help. Just subtracting Carlos Carrasco from the Mets rotation is going to help. And it has, because we've only allowed 6 home runs in this young season. I mentioned earlier the 2 quality starts. They came from Buto and Manaya. Their hard hit percentage is the lowest in the National League, 23%. And then when you go one by one with the starting pitching and their ERA, Manaya 0.82, Buto 1.50. Yes, we're counting Buto because he got the start. Hauser 1.8. McGill 2.25, Quintana 2.61, and Severino with a 3.6 ERA. And Severino pitched very well Saturday. His swings and misses, I think he had about 10 or 11 of them. He went 5 innings, only gave up 2 runs. One of them was earned, and he fucking threw 100 pitches, 63 for strikes, and only 2 walks. So that's really refreshing to see, especially from a staff that, in my eyes, was, had a lot of question marks going into this season. So I hope they can keep it up, and they're really going to need to be on their A game these next 3 games because they visit the Atlanta Braves in Atlanta. So they're really going to have to replicate this performance, although the Monday starter, Julio Teheran, he gets to start. I don't know how I feel about that. We'll have to see. That's really just a wait and see game and see how he can kind of bounce back, because I don't think he had too good of a spring, if I remember correctly. And speaking of the bullpen, obviously, I don't know how many innings Tehran's going to be able to give us. I'm imagining 4, maybe 5 on a good day. But maybe Mendoza you know, could have handled the bullpen situation a little differently on Saturday, but also maybe he's just saving the arms for Monday, for the Braves series. So maybe he's managing that way, maybe thinking a little too far ahead. But I think, you know, I really want to win these games against the Braves. I think that's important. Obviously, we want to win all the games, but, you know, it's not like the Braves series is, you know, next at the end of next week. It's right after this Cincinnati Reds series. So maybe he has that in mind. So that's why I say I'm going to give Carlos Mendoza a pass for his bullpen management. You know, there was a lot of talk on Twitter about Hefner not coming out and, you know, at least talking to Johan Ramirez. And I mean, I couldn't agree more. I mean, you let the guy, you know, die out there, throw 50 plus pitches, and, you know, you don't come out and talk to your pitcher not one time, not even the catcher came out to talk to Ramirez. I can pretty much bet my bottom dollar if Francisco Alvarez was catching that game on Saturday, he would have at least had a mound visit himself just to calm down Johan Ramirez, and maybe that would have helped. So, you know, that's my thoughts on that. Let me know what you guys thought about this series. Let me know what you guys think about the Mets starting rotation so far, because it's, look, plain and simple, it has surprised me, and I think it surprised most of us Mets fans. I'm going to get into a little bit of J.D. Martinez. There was some news coming out today in regards to, you know, an update on when he will join the Mets, this and that. I've said from the start that the date would be Friday, next Friday, the 12th, Black Jersey night against the Royals at Citi Field. I always thought that was the target date, the date circled on the calendar. Well, it came out today that he will not be joining the Mets in Atlanta. He is still ramping up his conditioning. I'm not sure how to feel about that. When I saw a picture of J.D. Martinez, whatever it was, 2 weeks ago or when he was first signed, he didn't look like he was in great shape. Not sure what the guy was doing during the winter. I'm not sure he was really doing anything. So that raised a little bit of a concern. I didn't want to look too much into it. But from the sounds of it, I'm not sure when he'll be able to be called up. But Mendoza said, we're not going to see him in a while. He's going to stay down in Port St. Lucie and get more at-bats. He's feeling it. We knew he was going to need a lot of time, not only with the timing and the mechanics, but overall his body. Those are words from Carlos Mendoza. So he may not be ready anytime soon, which is going to lead me into this next segment. If he is not going to be ready anytime soon, if he may need all of April or two more weeks of April, I don't know that I can go any longer with a few guys on the team currently. If that is the case, that we're not going to see J.D. Martinez for, let's say, another 2 weeks, I'm not sure I can go another 2 weeks with watching DJ Stewart bat zero in 10 at-bats. I'm not sure I can go with Harrison Bader getting the bulk of the starts in center field. And you got to X out Zach Short or Joey Wendell. You got to X out one of them. You got to X out DJ Stewart. You got to bench Harrison Bader, which I'm going to get into a little bit. And you got to call up Mark Vientos, plain and simple. Mark Vientos looks like he's hitting the ball well in AAA. At this point, he can't be any worse than DJ Stewart. is doing up at the major league level. So I'm just not sure. I feel like David Stearns has some sort of short leash. And again, we're in a very small sample size, right? We're just under 10 games. But if history tells us anything, it's that DJ Stewart is not going to be much more better than what he's doing now. And Harrison Bader is going to struggle. So let me get into it, okay? Harrison Bader and Tyron Taylor. I may want to see more of Tyron Taylor than Harrison Bader at this point. When I compare the numbers, it just, Tyron Taylor's numbers stick out a little more than Harrison Bader. He's not a very good ball player. $10 million, I've seen no return on this investment with Harrison Bader. Both guys, Bader, 26 at-bats, Taylor, 25 at-bats. So they're neck and neck as far as opportunities at the dish. Because let's be honest, at the dish is where the Mets are kind of struggling a little bit, right? And that's putting it nicely. They're struggling a little bit, okay? Bader has an average of 192. Taylor, 240. On-base percentage, Bader, 222. Taylor, 321. OPS, Bader, 414, Taylor, 641. Strikeouts, Bader, 9, Taylor, 7. Walks, Bader, 1, Taylor, 3. Doubles, Bader, 0, Tyron Taylor, 2. Game-winning hits, Bader, 0, Tyron Taylor, 1. And this, these next stats that I give you are something that I spoke about in my episode at the beginning of the season when I gave you a hitter's edition of what I was looking for from each player for the season. And one of the things that I spoke about was Harrison Bader and his struggles against right-handed pitching. And right now, Harrison Bader is struggling versus right-handed pitching. In 18 at-bats, Bader has a batting average of 167, 9 strikeouts, and 1 walk. Tyron Taylor against right-handed pitching has a batting average of 267, 5 strikeouts, and 3 walks. Harrison Bader has struck out 50% of the time in his at-bats against right-handed pitching. So it may be time to move Bader to the bench and have Tyron Taylor start. I mean, look, if David Stearns had a quick leash, fucking DFA Tonkin, then, hey, suck up the $10 million, move him to the bench, and that's it. Or send him down and have him work on his stuff. Have him get more comfortable batting against right-handed pitching. So let me know your thoughts on that, because I find it very alarming. Very, very, very alarming that Bader cannot hit right-handed pitching. I don't get it. A couple things that I touched on in regards to Bader when I put out this episode of, you know, what I was looking for. In 2023, Bader hit almost 100 less points against right-handed pitching than he did against left-handed pitching. He struck out 3 more times against right-handed pitching than he did against left-handed pitchers. Career-wise, Bader has an OPS of 824 against left-handers and an OPS of 667 against right-handers. So those numbers right there really tell me, the numbers I just gave you and the numbers that I gave you before that in regards to this season so far, tell me that Bader is just not going to hit right-handed hitters. He's just not. On top of, and we saw this on Saturday, he's not a very good fielder. He may have some speed. He may have a decent glove. But Harrison Bader has no arm. You might as well have kept Nimmo in center field. So, very interested to see what the Mets are going to do in that situation right there. Tyron Taylor is really starting to grow on me, and I think he should get a shot at starting. Starting right field, starting center field. I don't know. I mean, even if you want to start DJ Stewart in right field, go Taylor center field and Nimmo left field, and you with the DH, you keep DJ Stewart's bat off the field and you DH Marte. I wouldn't be opposed to that. But Harrison Bader right now is not contributing to an already struggling offense. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. Let me know what you guys think about that. I think it's a pretty good idea, but I'm not the GM. Well, I am when I'm on the couch. But, you know, again, the offense is struggling and we need to find it. So Bader is not a key contributor in that aspect. And a little bit on the DH situation. I like seeing Starlin Marte DH. I think it keeps his legs fresh. Today was his second time DHing. I think he had two stolen bases yesterday on Saturday against the Reds. So I think that keeps his legs fresh for the season. He's actually not doing too bad at the dish. Marte's hitting .273. He's got an on-base percentage of .351. He's second on the team with a .745 OPS. So Marte can DH. I think he should DH. You know, one of the things that stuck out to me last season was he didn't want to hit outside of the two hole, and Buck Showalter, being such a nice guy that he is, catered to that. And that's not the issue. That's not what's happening anymore. Like, you're going to hit wherever the team wants you to hit. And I think he's finding out, Marte, that he can hit anywhere. It doesn't have to be just a two-hole. And, you know, so I like that. I like that they put him to DH, and I like that he's contributing, plain and simple. So let me know what you guys think about Marte and him DHing a little more. You know, maybe 2-3 times out of the week. I think that'd be great. I think that would benefit him. That would benefit him a little bit. So not only the team, but him as well. So yeah, let me know what you guys think about that. What else do I have for this episode here? Let me see. Look, after watching the Cincinnati Reds series, you have to tip your hat a little bit to Brett Beatty. His defense and his approach at the plate have really, really taking a turn for the best. His defense looks really solid. Aside from his glove, he's making some really, really, really strong throws across the diamond. He's not pump faking. He's just letting that thing rip. And, you know, some of the throws have been low, but a lot of them have been right to Alonso's face. So he has really, you know, another surprise, I'd say, because I'm not too worried about Brett Beatty's bat. It was his glove that was the issue, right? So many errors. I think he's had 24 chances and zero errors at third base in 8 games this season. So that's a huge positive for the team. He made a beautiful diving grab on Friday night. And again, his approach at the plate, I think he saw 19 pitches on Friday. He's really working the counts nicely. And, you know, when I compare Beatty and McNeil, I looked at their numbers. Beatty has, in 31 at-bats, has seen 118 pitches. McNeil, in 25 at-bats, has seen 86 pitches. So that kind of lets you tell That kind of tells you that Beatty is being very patient at the plate. His plate discipline has gone pretty noticeable, I'd say. Pretty noticeable. Another noticeable thing for me has been Pete Alonso. Obviously, a clutch home run early in the week against the Tigers, but his last six games, he's batting 111. He's only got one walk and 10 strikeouts. Hitless in the last three games, zero hits in six at-bats with runners in scoring position. Hopefully he snaps out of it because, I mean, we need that power bat. You know, he's getting the opportunities. He's just not coming through. Kind of like Francisco Lindor was, but he came through Sunday afternoon, had a double, had a home run. So hopefully Francisco Lindor continues this. You know, I don't want to see a slump of one for his last 29 and then have a couple of good games and then go back into a slump. It's got to be a lot more consistent, if you ask me. So, you know, we're going to need Francisco Lindor to continue this little mini breakout. I'm just calling it a mini breakout because I need to see a little more consistency out of Lindor. And, you know, I look for Alonso to have a good series against the Atlanta Braves. We're going to need all these guys to really, really step it up. What else? A couple things I didn't like from Friday was Francisco Alvarez. He was chasing a little bit. He was really looking to swing for the fences. He saw only two balls called all night long on Friday. So, you know, I like to see him scale it back a little bit at times. The power's there. So when he swings, the ball's going to fucking fly. He just needs to have a little more plate discipline. The Mets defensively have not been great. They're tied for second with nine errors on the season. That's second most. So they need to clean up their defense a little bit more. Look, the Mets are going to really, this is going to be a good gauge for the Mets. Number one, you got to go out there and take two out of three from the Braves. But you got to show that you can at least compete with them. Okay. I think at this point, we can all admit the Braves are in a different tier than the Mets. And the Mets have to show that they can at least compete against the Braves. You can't go into Atlanta and just lay down. You can't do it. You got to show that you can compete, because the Braves were down six runs on Saturday, I believe, came back and won that game. I think they were down Friday night as well, 5-2. They came back and won that game. And they may have been down on Sunday as well and came back and won against an Arizona Diamondback team that is pretty solid, I'd say. I mean, they're the defending National League champs. So, I mean, you know what you're going to get out of the Braves. They're swinging for the fences. They hit home runs. They get on base. They move runners over. So aside from our pitching having to be spectacular like it has been, our offense really needs to go into Atlanta and, you know, answer the bell pretty much. Even if the Mets lose two out of three, you need to show some competition, because if you lose two out of three and you just, you know, you get blown out and you get shut out, then, you know, it's going to kill the morale of this team, which the Braves are known to do. So obviously, okay, we want to win games as fans. We want the Mets to win games. There are no moral victories. There's no column in the standings for moral victories. But this team right now needs to show some fight these next three games. Heading back after that, they head back to Citi Field. So if they don't at least show some fight, then you're going to get booed at Citi Field. Plain and simple. What else do I have? Shit, I think that may be it. That may wrap up this episode. Let me know what you guys think. Are you giving Carlos Mendoza a break on his bullpen management? Tell me what you think about the Mets starting pitching so far. Has it surprised you? Is this something that you expected? Let me know what you think about the Harrison Bader and Tyron Taylor swap there. Would you like to see Tyron Taylor handle center field, get the starts, and Bader come off the bench? As always, folks, thanks for tuning in. I really appreciate it. Make sure you follow me on X at Our Mets Podcast. Until the next one.